Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This week on the Eurotrip, a potential Eurovision winner, an insight into the art of songwriting, and an exciting announcement or two from us.
It's time for the Eurotrip.
The Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Fist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast, with me, Rob.
Me, James.
And this week, we're getting quite cultured, I would say, James, on the podcast today. We are talking songwriting.
Which is something we know a lot of you have always wanted us to talk about. And when we chat to artists, we often like to ask them what it is like to write a song and what it's like to write a song for the Eurovision Song Contest. But this week, we are going to be chatting a lot about the songwriting process.
Yeah, first up, we are going to hear from somebody who thinks they may have heard the Eurovision winner way back in June 2023. So just a few weeks after the contest in Liverpool. That person is Taya, of Taya and Selena fame, who of course represented Austria at the contest last year. Well, she was in the same songwriting session as Nemo, who of course is representing Switzerland this year, and their song The Code is up there among the favourites to win the contest. So how did that all happen, and what was the process of writing the song? We'll hear a bit more later.
Yes, this is so fun. We last spoke to Taya, didn't we, in November or December, I think, when we were chatting about Taya and Selena's Christmas song. So it's great to have Taya back on the podcast. As well, forgive us, but Melfest Monday isn't the only place we're going to chat about Melfest, because we're also going to be joined by Cassiopeia. She is in the final of Melfest on Saturday, not only with her own song, but she's written Jacqueline's song as well. And if you cast your minds back to 12 months ago, she was also on the songwriting team for Loreen's Tattoo. So she knows a thing or two about writing a Eurovision winner.
And we've got another Eurotrip to tell you about.
So we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
Yes, James, finally, another Eurotrip here on the Eurotrip. Because, of course, the last Eurotrip we did here on the Eurotrip would, of course, have been Czechia for ESCZ back in January, because we didn't need to do a Eurotrip for Eurovision last year.
Yeah, I guess going to a city in your own country isn't classed. It's classed as a trip, but not so much as a Eurotrip, is it?
No. So we are going on a Eurotrip here on the Eurotrip in May. Eurovision adjacent, I would say, just across the bridge, because, James, exciting news, we've been announced as an official media partner for the Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party.
Yes, which is like a big warm-up for Eurovision week itself, isn't it? Because this is sort of like the last event that takes place before we enter Eurovision week that I guess starts on the Sunday before the show week, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is turquoise carpet eve, James.
That's a good way of putting it. I like it.
But yeah, already announced as performing at the Malmö Hagen pre-party. We've got like Emily DeForest. She's going to be there, of course, Danish Eurovision winner. We're going to have plenty of the class of Eurovision 2024 along as well. And we'll be there. So what more could you want?
I like how you put us in the same bracket as Eurovision winners and Eurovision performers. Just slip us in at the end there, like we're on the same level.
I like to think we'll get to like walk the red carpet and people will also think that we're like famous or we're in like, you know, we're a delegation or someone's head of press or something.
Yeah, it's certainly not worthy enough if we to be mentioned in the same breath of any of them and to walk the same carpet as the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the case, but it's going to be a fantastic event. You're going to hear a lot more about it on the podcast in the coming weeks. We can say that for sure. And if you do want tickets, then we will pop a link to where you can buy them in the description for today's episode.
Yes, so looking forward to being just in Copenhagen, just across the bridge, as Rob says, the week before Eurovision. But now, we love it when you get in touch with us. We are at Eurotrip Podcast across social media, and you can email us as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. And Katie got in touch with us on Instagram with a lovely message. I must read this out to you. She said she's been catching up on some of our latest episodes where we've been talking about Eurovision and weddings. Remarkable that we are still managing to drag this feature out. I am as amazed as you are.
This is weeks and weeks and weeks we've been doing this now.
It is. We need to brainstorm some new ideas so they don't run entirely dry. But we're going to keep
Eurovision up. Eurovision at funerals?
I'm not entirely sure. I can't imagine that is a lengthy debate, is it?
I mean, someone out there probably has. Have you been at a funeral and did they play a Eurovision song? You can get in touch, James. James will give you the details in a bit.
So long as you give us stories to what we ask about, we will continue on these themes. But Katie has been in touch on Instagram and said, it's been a running joke in our family that we have post-Eurovision depression. She says it's a real thing. I think we can all agree with that. That we always plan something to look forward to in the week after the contest to numb the pain, which is a very good idea. I always go back to work like a day or two after the final. It's always the worst week of your life.
Worst week of your life?
Of my year. I should have said my year.
That was strong.
Yeah, definitely my year, not my life. I've had worse. First off, she says, it started off small with a spa break in the UK. Then it was a weekend in Lisbon. Then last year, it was a holiday to Morocco for the week. Once we left the continent, we decided that it was getting a bit out of hand and had a serious discussion about what we could do this year. And we decided to get married, just like that. Which is great news. Congratulations to Katie and her partner, Jacob. So she says it was a bit of an unusual proposal story. I guess if that was the way the proposal went, very unusual. So now we are getting married on the 16th of May. Eurovision will play a big part of the wedding, no doubt. I am pushing for us to walk down the aisle to the Eurovision theme song, but I think this is going to take some persuading.
That is very, very exciting. As you said, congratulations to Katie and her partner. Very, very exciting. Do you reckon Katie and her partner would let us play a role in the wedding?
Oh, Matt, what do you want to do?
What do you want to do? Katie's not asked us to do this. Katie, feel free to ignore all of the above. We could play the 1 second song during the reception. Her guests would love that.
Maybe she walks down the aisle to just 100 first seconds of a Eurovision song. And it's like a bingo card on your seat. You have to try and stamp off all the ones you think you heard.
I think when you're walking down the aisle, you're nervous enough. I don't think you need any of that nonsense. But yeah, congratulations, Katie and Jacob. That is very, very exciting. And yeah, what a fantastic story. And that also leads us on then. That's quite a nice seg, isn't it? So what do you do to get over post-Eurovision depression? Do you have sort of your go-to things that you do the week after Eurovision? Do you always have a holiday that you do at that time of year? do you have, you know, other things that you do? Do you make sure that you always get like a takeaway on the Sunday after Eurovision? Like, what do you do? Do let us know. And if people want to get in touch, James, on that and any of the other nonsense we've just spoken about, they can.
At Eurotrip Podcast, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow us on TikTok and Threads as well. And you can also email us, hello@eurotrippodcast.com.
So now, James, it is time for the very latest news from the world of Eurovision. I should say, Taya of Taya and Selena fame, and also Kasia Pia on the way on the podcast. But, James, you have been rooting around in your news desk over the last few days and hours and minutes to bring everyone up to speed with what's been going on in the world of Eurovision, because it's a time when a lot is happening, because of course the head of delegations meeting is next week. Songs need to be submitted by the end of the week. There are still some entries we haven't heard, and there's a lot going on.
Yes, there is a lot going on. Yeah, songs have to be submitted by the heads of delegation meeting, which is early next week. But we have to say that songs don't have to be released by then. So although we do have a handful of songs still to come, seven, I think it is, we might not actually have heard them all by early next week. But since we last joined you last Wednesday, we've got the songs for Iceland, Austria, the United Kingdom, of course, which we went into on Friday's bonus episode, Serbia, the Netherlands, Cyprus, Switzerland. And at the time we're recording, we haven't heard it yet. But by the time you listen, you will also have heard from Australia.
That's just a few, isn't it? In my head, when we were obviously talking about today's episode, and just to let you in on a secret, everyone, it's me editing this week. so you can expect some shoddy edits later on. But I was like, oh, maybe we can play all of the songs that have been picked between now and when we brought you the regular episode last Wednesday. I'm not sitting down and popping all them in the episode. That's the ages.
Can't be bothered.
Have you got a favourite that we've had in the last 7 days, and you can't say the UK?
From those, I think the standout for me is Austria. It's Colleen, We Will Rave. It just slaps you around the face twice and three times over, doesn't it, as soon as you press play.
Yeah, we heard Dan Shipton, didn't we, on last week's podcast talking about Colleen. He, of course, doing the staging for Austria, among others, this year, which is very, very exciting. Yeah, I would say Austria's up there for me. Did Switzerland happen in the last 7 days, James?
Did it not? I thought it did. Yeah, it did.
I think you're right. I was just double checking. Oh, yeah. You got very defensive all of a second there for a second, didn't you?
Of course, we'll chat more about Switzerland very shortly. But I think probably one of the biggest stories from the weekend, from Saturday night into Sunday, was Iceland and the Song for Kepnen final. Because, of course, they had two semi-finals. They finished with a final. But there was, I'm reluctant to use the word scandal because I feel like that, you know, tarnishes a little bit. But there was certainly a good old debate about the end result, wasn't there?
Yeah, there certainly was. I mean, we've had the voting numbers published, haven't we? They've been published by the Icelandic broadcaster, and of course, at the centre of all this is Bashar Morad and Hera Bjork. James, you have been doing some digging, or you at least have written some notes to try and make sure that we get this correct. What is happening?
Yes, exactly. Because it is a bit complex. So there was a 5-song final on Saturday night. You mentioned the Palestinian singer Bashar Morad, who does have strong links to Iceland, we should say, and has been picking up a lot of media coverage lately. And Hera Bjork, who we heard from on the podcast a couple of weeks ago and represented Iceland in 2010. Them two made it through to the super final. So after the first round of votes, they had the most votes and went off to a runoff. After that second round of voting, Hera Bjork had been declared the winner. But then soon after that, there was reports online that voters who were trying to text and vote for Bashar Morad instead were ending up registering a vote for Hera Bjork. On Sunday, the director of the show So the director of Song of Kepnen, the national final, Runar Freyr Gislason, said that the number of SMS votes overall was so small that it wouldn't have impacted the result, no matter who had gotten those text votes. And then on Monday, one of the songwriters of Bashar Murad's song, who was also a member of Hatari, requested an independent investigation to be carried out. This didn't happen, but Rúv, the national broadcaster in Iceland, did then publish the full voting data and an apology, acknowledging that there was a mistake with the SMS voting. So Bashar had won the first round of voting overall when five songs were still in it, but then Hera had won the super final, which I think is an entirely reasonable thing to happen when you go from five songs to two songs. But overall, Rob, I think what muddied the water slightly was you mentioned Rúv had published all that voting data. When they did so on Monday, there was an error with the votes and the numbers that they published.
Guys, check the spreadsheet.
So they had to then republish the results. So I think overall, there isn't anything underlying, but I think generally it's just a very, very messy process.
And on top of all this, James, I'm putting you on the spot here, but I think I'm right in saying this. At the time that we're recording this, Iceland haven't actually confirmed their participation yet, have they?
They haven't, have they? No. So we know Hera Björk had won, and the song she performed, we expect to take to Eurovision, but nothing has been signed on the dotted line. So Iceland are in. They were on the official participation list that had previously been released, but they've not certified it, I think is probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, safe to say that there will be a lot more, hopefully, there will be a lot more clarity around everything that's happening in the Eurovision sphere by the head of delegations meeting next week. That's all we can hope for, I think, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. So, seven more songs to come at some point over the next week or so.
Now, if we go back then, James, you got very defensive about it when I asked you, well, Switzerland came out in the last 7 days, didn't it? And yes, it did. I am very excited about this song. For anyone who was hoping for a cheapo Eurovision next year, I don't know if we're going to get one, because I think Switzerland have got a fantastic chance of winning the contest in Malmö, don't you think?
Oh, honestly, yeah. When I heard Austria, it really stood out. Switzerland's entry. Whew. We didn't expect this, did we?
I remember I was sat in my spare room at home just listening along to the kind of YouTube premiere. I think the music video was premiered on the official Eurovision YouTube, and didn't really know what to expect because none of us did really. And I came away from it not really knowing how I felt. But now, all this time later, a few days on, I'm like, this could really be a contender in Malmö, I think. And somebody who agrees with me is one of the class of 2023. So this is Thea, of course, who represented Austria along with Selena last year, singing Who the Hell is Edgar? And it turns out that Thea was in the same songwriting session as Nemo when this song was first written. And this, James, this happened just a few weeks after the contest in Liverpool. So it just tells you, doesn't it? It just shows you that the life cycle of Eurovision just goes on and on and on. So when 1 year's contest is over, all focus is on the following year almost immediately. Well, Thea has been very excited ever since the song has finally been released. Of course, she's known that this day was coming for a little while. So I thought, let's get Thea back on the podcast, which is what we did. I had a chat with her earlier on. It's always brilliant to have Thea on. She told us a bit more about what she's got coming up over the next year. And here's what happened when we caught up. So Thea, welcome back to the Eurotrip.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Thea, how are you, first off?
I'm great. I've been great. I've been very, very busy, but also very good. I like what I do, so I'm quite good. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you very much for asking. I don't often get that from the people we're interviewing. So yeah, I'm good, thank you.
That's great. I'm glad.
I understand, obviously, goes without saying that you are very busy. The life of a musician never stops. Writing session today and then back to Berlin?
Exactly, yeah. It's my last session today in Vienna, and tomorrow morning I'm off to Berlin because I have another writing session the day after in Berlin, so I have to be there.
And how's it been going? Have we already got some, you know, some excellent hits that we can look forward to later in the year?
Hopefully. I think there's some cool things in the pipeline for other artists as well, but I'm also releasing my own stuff very, very soon. I have a release coming out. I can't say the release date quite yet, but I'll tell you, it's like in March. It's like around the 22nd, maybe.
So you definitely can't tell us the date, but it definitely might be maybe around the 22nd specifically.
Definitely might be maybe around it. Yeah.
Okay, that's very exciting. So not long to wait for that at all. So there's loads I want to talk to you about, obviously, and we'll find out more about what you're up to as well later on this year and what you've got planned and stuff. But it seems odd to have you on to talk about somebody else's song, but you're okay with that, right?
I'm absolutely fine with it. Yeah, I'm absolutely happy to talk about it.
So the song in question is, of course, Nemo and The Code. They released the song last week, and ever since, the Eurovision world has been talking, because it's a hugely exciting entry, one that could maybe contend for the win this year. And you know this already, of course, because tweet here from the 2nd of June, 2023. So not that long after you performed in Liverpool at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said, I have a feeling there's a 99.99% chance that we've just heard the Swiss entry for next year's Eurovision at the listening session, and 100% chance that you'll love it if it gets picked.
I knew, man. I knew. That's so funny. You know, the story behind that is I was at the Suiza camp, obviously, and the first day I worked with Nemo, actually, and my producer, Tom Iller, who did Watergun, for example. Like, he does amazing stuff. But so Tom and I worked with Nemo, and we wrote a banger song. And we're like, we looked at each other. We had this moment of, holy shit, Nemo is so gonna go to Eurovision. Like, whether it's with our song or a different song, like, Nemo is just born to be a star. Like, they're amazing. You know, like, even like in the studio itself, like while recording, Nemo is just out of this world. And that was the first day I met Nemo, by the way. So I haven't known Nemo for like that long, but we had such a click moment. Like, we immediately connected, and I felt this huge amount of love for Nemo immediately, and like they did for me. So we had this like bonding moment, and I was like, Nemo, trust me, you're going to go to Eurovision next year. I just know it. And Nemo was like, I don't know, because Nemo is always like, very humble and very sweet and just very appreciative of everyone. I was like, no, listen to me, you're going to go to Eurovision. So I looked at Pelle, my manager, but who's also organizing the Suiza camp, and Pelle's the A&R. He like exactly knows like who to put in to which session. So I looked at Pelle and I was like, it's gonna be Nemo, and the song we did today is like really good. And he was like, yeah, it's amazing. And like, I was like so hyped. And then the next day, Nemo was put in a different session with my amazing friends. It was Lasse, who's Elsie Bay's boyfriend and a great producer and writer. And then it was Benji Alasu, who's a great friend of ours, a great producer as well. And Linda O'Dale, who's an amazing songwriter. She did Alessandra's song last year. So already like a really, really good team.
It's like a Eurovision Avengers thing going on almost.
Absolutely. It's exactly like, you know, when you like send people into a group and you just know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like that's what happened here. So they wrote the song, and then Pelle just called me out of my session. He was like, can you come like for a second? Can you like go in there and just listen to what they did? And I was like, sure. So I went in, I sat on the couch, and they showed me the song, and I was basically speechless for like a minute. And then I just turned to Pelle and I said, like, this is not even winning Suiza. This is winning Eurovision. This is like so gonna go next year. And Pelle had the same feeling, because Pelle and I always have the same gut feeling. We had the same feeling with like, Who the Hell Is Edgar? We were like, oh yeah, this makes sense. And like, The Code was that, but 100 times more. My heart beats like a drum. With them coming out earlier this year, or like end of last year, I think this is just a beautiful place for them to be. And I think it's just going to be great. So it's like my heart is full just watching them on this journey. It's just so cool.
And how is it for you, I suppose, now being on the other side of things, obviously having been in that position last year and getting yourself ready for Liverpool, of course. Nemo is getting themselves ready for Malmö. What do you think you can offer to Nemo? Obviously, you've said that you've been hanging out, you've become really, really close in Berlin. Have you been able to offer some kind of advice and set some expectations for what that Eurovision journey is like?
Yeah, so Nemo themselves always like comes to me with like bunch of questions and like it's just so it wants to know like everything. So we talk a bunch and we schedule regular calls like for updates and to see like what's happening. So my biggest advice I gave them was probably to just try and enjoy every moment. And we've been told that a bunch of times from other contestants last year, but I don't think we've like taken it as seriously. Of course, we tried, but it's, I think, almost impossible to like really take in every moment. So I told Nemo to get a journal and just write down everything that's happening. So I think that's what they've been doing, and it's working out really well because there's just so many things happening, and you forget them if you like don't write them down. So I think that's something. And then I also got Nemo on Twitter because of course,
obviously,
because that's the place to be. I think I would have loved to have it even earlier last year because it's just a fun place and so many kind and funny people. And Nemo in itself is just very, very funny. So I think they would love that place. And they do. So yeah, those two things. But in general, we just talk and try to like work through it together. And they tell me everything that's happening. And yeah, it's been nice.
Any chance you're going to be in Malmö, Teo? Whether it's offering support or love to Nemo or in another capacity?
I don't think so. I've kind of so Pelle is definitely gonna be there, and then I talked with Helena, who's one of my managers as well, and we're probably gonna make us like do a chill night. She's gonna come to Berlin. We're gonna like watch it and like you know call from back home.
That's one of the hottest tickets in town. Not getting a ticket for Eurovision, getting a ticket to your watch party in Berlin. That sounds like it's going to be amazing.
Exactly. You're invited. If you want to come, you can absolutely come.
I'll be there. I mean, I don't know how long it takes to get the train from Malmö to Berlin, but I'll do it. So Teo, obviously yourself, what are you up to for the rest of the year? Because we've already said that, you know, you've got some really exciting things planned. You've got the release that may or may not be around at some point, the 22nd of March, but we can't say for sure, but maybe. But what else is happening?
So there's the EP planned. So I'll be releasing an EP this year. I've got three singles, and then it's going to be five songs on the EP itself. And I think like in 3 days, yeah, on March 8th, I'm announcing the title of my first single and the release date of my first single that you may or may not already know or not know. I'm mostly excited about it being very honest and very me. I think that's what Who the Hell is Edgar taught me. Because if I had known that we would go to Eurovision with that song, I never would have written it that way. But I wrote it in a way that was just very true to what I was feeling in that moment. And it's just very niche. And I wouldn't have thought that people would have cared. But seeing so many people care about what I wrote, even though it's just not very much relatable to them, it meant so much to me, because it's like, you know, it's what I'm thinking, it's what I'm feeling, and if I care about it, then other people start caring about it too. So I was like, I'm just gonna write whatever is just on my mind. So yeah, I'm really happy that I managed to do that, and it just feels very me. So I'm very excited.
Oh, well, Teo, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been brilliant to chat to you. It's always lovely to have you on, and good luck for everything that you've got coming up this year. And also, have a lovely Eurovision watch party if we don't speak to you before.
Thank you so much, Rob. That's very, very sweet. Thank you so much.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
the world's favourite Eurovision podcast.
Welcome back to the Eurotrip. It's great to have you with us. And I'll say it, I know you did, Rob, but I'll say it, thanks to Tia for joining us on the Eurotrip again.
Do you think that she would also invite you to her Berlin Eurovision watch party? I know I got an invite.
You did get an invite, and I was wondering if you were seriously considering trying to take it up with her, but I was thinking, are you just going to leave me in Malmö by myself?
I mean, have you just revealed news that we've not revealed yet on the podcast?
I think we must have mentioned we were going to go.
I don't think we have. We've just mentioned, haven't we, at the start of the podcast that we were going to be in Copenhagen the weekend before. But go on then, let's do it. Let's officially confirm me, James, Callum, the band from Liverpool are back together again to bring you daily episodes from the contest in Malmö in 2024, in just a few weeks' time.
Yes, indeed. Very, very exciting. Rob will make an early departure so you can go to Berlin, but I'll be there for the full week.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Callum there as well. I mean, you won't mind if I head off, and you'd understand if Tara had invited you to Berlin for a Eurovision party, you'd go along, wouldn't you?
Hey, listen, you've left me in the lurch and left me to do Malfest Monday all by myself, so, you know, I've got experience of that.
Let me get my tiny Alexander Rybak violin out for you.
Oh, dear. Anyway, we chatted before about features on this podcast that are somehow remarkably standing the test of time. Eurovision Songs in the Wild continues yet again.
Let's play the music.
Oh, do we still have the music? I didn't play the music last week, but you must have found it again, which is great news. We've had more submissions of when you've been out and about and you have stumbled across a Eurovision song playing when you least expected it. So thanks to Joel, who got in touch with us online and said, Wild Youth, We Are One, playing in Birmingham Airport duty free right now.
That is niche.
I expect Joel was just walking around and went, I must tell them immediately, they're playing it right now.
He was like, I must send the message before the song finishes, otherwise it doesn't count.
And then Jack as well messaged us to say, I am in Bergen and I finally have something to submit for Eurovision Songs in the Wild, Italy 1980. You would think that would be good enough to submit, but then a few hours later, Jack messaged us again and said, I do not believe it. I've just walked through the street and some other restaurant is currently playing Hold Me Now. Is this some sort of conspiracy?
Is it a conspiracy or do they just absolutely love Eurovision in Bergen?
Yeah, I wonder if it was the same restaurant. I don't think Jack actually said if it was the same one or a different one. Maybe it was the same one and they've just got a Eurovision playlist on repeat. But also, Andrew got in touch. I think Andrew emailed us, so thanks, Andrew. He said, I thought I had to write after hearing about a fellow listener who came across Barbara Pravi playing in a charity shop at Brentwood in Essex. I think we mentioned that last week or 2 weeks ago. Andrew said, I was returning to my car across a rain-soaked McDonald's car park in Clacton. Yes, Clacton, he says.
Really paints a picture, doesn't it?
Does. I like it. You really have to set the scene for us with these. I don't want just, I heard this song here. I want a proper scene set. Andrew said, blaring out of a car's speakers to my utter surprise and joy was Voila by Barbara Pravi. He says, Barbara is taking over Essex.
Barbara Pravi, when she wrote Voila, or when she performed Voila in Rotterdam, did she ever think she'd be played in a McDonald's car park in Clacton?
I tell you, that's Eurovision for you. One minute you're on the Eurovision stage, finishing in the top three at the contest, the next you're blasting out of a speaker in a Clacton McDonald's car park.
Always very keen to hear your Eurovision songs in the wild, so do get in touch all the usual places, and maybe James will have even more to bring you next week.
Yes, indeed. Now then, shall we catch up with Cassiopeia, Eurovision winning songwriter. She wrote Loreen's Tattoo. She also wrote the American Song Contest winner a couple of years ago, Wonderland for Alexa, and she's back in Melody Festival in this year, not only as a participant herself with Give My Heart a Break, but also she has written Jacqueline's Effortless. Both of those songs are in the final on Saturday night. Now, if you're a listener to Melfest Monday, of course, our podcast that focuses exclusively on Melody Festival. And
I don't tend to bother, actually.
I know you don't. Since I got a message from you earlier on today, was it? Said, how was Melfest Monday this week? I've not listened.
No, I've listened now. I have listened now. Okay. I have listened now. I would recommend everyone goes back and has a listen, because James worked very hard on the intro. That's all I'll say if you haven't heard
Thank
it
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning it, because I did work hard on it and nobody even mentioned it. Nobody's even tweeted me or messaged me about it. I was thinking, is that all gone to waste?
Send James some love for his Melfest Monday intro. Anyway, sorry, do go on.
Yes, so you'll have heard from Cassiopeia a few weeks ago. We spoke to her in the run-up to her Heat to find out why she's back, all about the song, and of course, she's going to be in the final on Saturday. So I thought we'll get her back on. We're, of course, talking all about songwriters this week, so it seemed like a perfect opportunity to chat more to Cassie about songwriting in general and what she's expecting from her performance on Saturday night.
She's always so much fun, isn't she? Like, if we're going to get anyone on the podcast, I always want it to be Cassiopeia, because it's just always a great time.
Oh, she's such a joy. She's such a joy. As I say, Give My Heart a Break is the song that she's going to be performing. She wrote that herself, along with Jimmy Jansson, Ellen Berg, who's written loads of her K-pop stuff with her, and Thomas Gayson, who is a legendary name in Melfest and Eurovision songwriting. So let's get to it, shall we? Let's hear from Cassiopeia here on the Eurotrip. Cassiopeia, welcome back. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. Likewise.
How are you doing? We last spoke like a week before your Melfest Heat. And since then, of course, you've made it to the final. How does it feel?
It feels so great. I'm so happy to go to the final. You never know in this competition, even if you have something you're really sure about. And there's always so many good songs, you know, every year. So you can't take anything for granted, even if you're coming with something good. So I was so happy to go to the final.
And how was the performance itself? You get those 3 minutes and you've got to like give it absolutely everything. Were you pleased with your performance overall?
Yeah, I was. It's great with SVT because you get to rehearsal a lot and you get to do this a lot before it's live in front of 3 million people. Mm. So I felt really secure in my performance, and I felt that I rehearsed it a lot and I knew what I was doing and I felt confident on stage, and so that's a good feeling when you're out there.
I want to know everything about the outfit, because that outfit was so striking.
Thank you. I love it too.
Tell us about it, because I heard somebody say, maybe you said this, that it was like it looked like, or maybe it was made out of tinsel from a Christmas tree. Was it actually, or did it just look like that?
No, it's 100% Christmas decoration.
It was?
Yeah.
Was that your idea or was that somebody else's?
23, when I was in Green Room, I had, I don't know if a lot of people saw that, but I had like, you know, things you put in the door when you're having a party.
Yeah.
I had an outfit made of that, like purely all of that. And that was Kana, who made my pom-poms.
Yeah.
She made all those outfits for me. And we were kind of playing around with those ideas, like making clothes out of something weird and all that. And then when I met the stylist that made this outfit, I told him about that. And then he told me that I did a sweater one time made out of Christmas decoration. And then I was like, oh, I love that. Why don't we make like a whole outfit? And, you know, so we were brainstorming together, and he is as crazy as I am. So we were just laughing, and
You know, there was never a question of, is this too weird? Or is it like, you know, we were just vibing, laughing and creating this like outfit together. So yeah, it was a teamwork.
It looks great as well. I've got to say, it looks so fun.
Thank you. And it's so comfy.
Is it? I thought it might be like really scratchy, like really itchy, but no. Like, is it actually comfy?
I would never wear something uncomfortable, especially on stage, because you need to feel comfortable, you know, because that shines through. If you are uncomfortable, if something hurts, like, no, never. So that was the first thing I said, can we do it comfy? Like, and so it's very, it's like a cloud inside. I'm very happy with the outfit.
Let's chat about the song, because since I first heard it, it has been stuck in my head like every single day I hear it. What is the secret formula to a Cassiopeia song? Because they always just get stuck in your head.
Oh, yay! You're so sweet. That's the goal. I wanted to like get stuck on your brain. That's a hook, you know? That's when you know you made a hook. You have to follow like, is it right to say the stomach feeling?
Yeah. Like, you know in your gut if something's right. Yeah,
my gut, thank you. My gut feeling. So there is something with hooks that goes very like falsetto that I feel is me. If you listen to I Can Get Enough, it's also, and it's like, you're my sunshine. It's, you're my sunshine. You're my... And this one is, I like the airy vibe, like the cloudy, the easygoing, airy vibe in hooks. And I think that's maybe my...
That's like your signature, right?
My signature, yeah. And it also felt like I found my sound in that.
So when you wrote this song this year, did you almost start with this idea, or did this, like, this hook that you mentioned, did this come later on? Like, talk us through that process of actually writing the song.
It was the four of us was having a session, and Jimmy started laying down some chords on the piano, and we were trying to find like the vibe for today. We knew that we were writing for me, and that was the only outgoing we had. We didn't have any like anything set before that day. And he started playing around with these chords. And the first hook we came up with was, so give my heart a break. It's just, and that was just, I have everything. It's so interesting because I have everything on my phone, and I'm planning on posting it on Instagram.
Oh, you are going to post it then?
Yeah, and maybe on TikTok or something, but it's like, I always record. I have like hours and hours of recording on this, and you hear like, and then the other guys keep on talking, and like, and I'm like, shut up guys for a minute. I'm having something here. Like, and they started listening. I'm like, it would be cool to do something. You wanna to bend on the words. And they were like, oh my God, yeah, you're right. And then, so that then we had the pre, and then it just popped out of my mouth. And Gerson was like, that's a cool hook. That's a really good hook. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to keep on singing. And then, you know, it just all made sense, and it came very fast. And then I said something. Yeah, while we wrote the pre, I said, give my heart a break. And Thomas was like, that's a cool line. What do you mean by that? Like, give my heart a break. And wow. We started talking about well-being. And I'm like, sometimes I just feel like my heart can take all the feelings I'm having in my body. And then it suddenly became kind of deep in the session. We went from, you know, laughing, goofing, and there was something serious about it. And I started really opening up to the people in the room. And I didn't think about that line before, or I didn't like, sometimes I gotta write a song called Give My Heart a Break. It just came in the session, you know? So it was very spontaneous. And while I was opening up about my feelings and well-being and anxiety and all that I usually never talk about in sessions or with people, that's not my family. So I felt like something was happening with me as well while I was talking loud about my feelings, you know? And then it was just, the song just wrote itself, basically. So with the verses, we were like, working on most, you know, the melodies. This right, we had another melody, and then like, no, this is the right one. And then Jimmy and Gesson was, you know, going back and forth, like, no, it should be like the production wise, should it be the mid age? Should be no, you know, the mid age should come back, and it should be the chorus again, you know. So it was like, we were mental. We were just, we were creating, and we were so excited because everyone could feel like, ooh, this is something good. And we were in the same room as we wrote Tattoo.
Oh, so you were in the same studio?
Yes, we were in the same studio, in this kind of small room. And so I got so many flashbacks from me and Thomas and the other guys as well. But Ellen wasn't on Tattoo, but she's on Give Me a Heart a Break. But I got flashbacks from, like, it's happening again. We're writing another, like, very cool song together. So, yeah, it was a journey for sure. That day was really... And I was crying, of course, because I felt the song is here now. I could feel it so strongly. And I was just standing up and I said, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for, like, for having this session with me. And thank you for, like, because I felt that now my song is born.
So is this like one day? I guess it's different for different kind of songs you write, but for Give My Heart a Break, was that one full day? Did you have to come back a different day and, you know, make some changes, or what was it like?
It was one day.
One day.
Yeah. And then, of course, they worked on the production probably a few more hours after that, but we didn't change anything. That was the day we wrote the song, and then, yeah, it was done.
And did it feel like when you were writing it and when you had written it and recorded some of those vocals, it felt like sort of like a winning song? And not necessarily it's going to win Melfest or it's going to win Eurovision, but to you, did it feel like a winner?
You said it so right there, because it was exactly like that. I didn't feel like I'm going to win Melody Festival with the song. I just felt like this is a song that I want to give to people. Like, this is a song I want everybody to hear. This is the song that I would, like, cry if I heard on the radio, or if someone played it to me, I would be jealous that I didn't write or sing that song. And that's when I know that it's the song for me, you know, because I write so many songs every day and I give them away and they get pitched and, you know, artists sing them. And I feel happy for them. But sometimes you write a song like this, I need this, you know? Yeah, that's when I know that it's a Cassiopeia song. Strongly, mostly, I felt like I want the world to hear this. I want people that feel like me to hear this so they can relate, you know?
Speaking about other Cassiopeia written songs, you've written another song in Melfest this year. It's gotten through to the final, Jacqueline with Effortless. I mean, crazy that you've got two songs in that final.
I know.
You must have spoken to Jacqueline. She must be over the moon that you've written a song for her and it went straight through to the final just like you did.
Yeah, she's so sweet. And we never met before. Because I didn't know her before. But she's very sweet and we're completely different, her and I. She's more calm and more like wears black, and she's like, you know, more dramatic in a way. And I'm like, like a rainbow that just exploded, and I'm talking very loud. And
you couldn't be any more different, could you?
No. So that was very funny to be a part of that kind of performance. I love her performance. She's so cool. And the dance moves, she's so fierce. So, and that she went out first and I went out last in the same, like,
in the same heat, yeah.
Same heat and same night. And then we both went to the final. So that was like the best outcome.
And I've seen some people say, I wonder why Cassie didn't sing Effortless. Talk us through the reason why you wouldn't want to sing that song. Why did you think, right, somebody else is right for this?
Because when we wrote Effortless, it was Jacqueline we had in mind. It wasn't like with Tattoo when, you know, so this was like, okay, we're going to write for Jacqueline. Have you heard about her? And I was like, no, not really. And then I read something about her and I did some research. And so that was just for her. I didn't even think about that for myself, you know, so that was never on the...
It wasn't on the radar, yeah.
No, that was not on radar. It was, I didn't even think that way. So, and I think even if we wrote it for me, I would have the same feeling as I did with Tattoo. Like, this is a good song, but it's not for me, because I don't know. It's just, I just get very happy for her when I see her up there. And I go like, yes, you go, girl. You like, if so, if she would sing Give My Heart a Break, I would be like, I've given away like my song. So that's just, it's.
So the answer, the answer is like, you just know, you just have a feeling what's right and what's wrong.
Sometimes it's hard to explain. It's just a feeling you have inside of you, and what your heart says, and your gut. So yeah, that was never my song. And it was truly 100% Jacqueline's song.
We are chatting on Tuesday, so not long until the final on Saturday. What have you got planned? Are you gonna, have you got like another day off? Are you gonna like take a little break before rehearsals start, or what's the plan?
I don't even remember when I was off. it was probably, yeah, it was Christmas.
Wow.
And New Year, and some days after Christmas, but then, yeah. Yesterday I had a really bad day, to be honest. I felt overwhelmed, and I felt like I need to take some days off, because I felt it's always so much stuff going on, and you're nervous, and you're tense, and you know your body's feeling that you're nervous and all that. But I just had to cry it out. Like the morning yesterday was like shit. I was crying, and I was just not feeling sorry for myself, but I just felt exhausted, you know?
Yeah.
I moved some meetings and I moved some stuff so I could have that morning just like cried out. So I take care of myself, and I make sure if I feel really bad that, okay, I need to, now I need space. But otherwise I feel like I can manage it. I'm used to it now, you know? Sorry, what was your question? I'm just talking so much.
You've almost answered my question. I was asking
what I'm gonna do,
or what you're gonna do for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I'm gonna be home with my dog, and I work out every day. I have my bicycle right there in the window. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh yes, there it is. I can see you.
I sit on that bicycle every day, and then I rehearse with my, I'm gonna show you my mic.
Oh, this is exciting.
I'm rehearsing here in the kitchen, and I'm using this mic just to hold on to something.
So this is like, is it a really cheap mic that you've bought like online or something? Is it, or?
So this is just a gimmick mic. I don't know. It's just for fun. You can make different. It's not on. It's just for me to hold on to a mic. I got it from my little sister. It was just a funny thing. You can make different, like, oh, yeah, stuff with it.
But you just use it as a prop?
I use it as a prop, and just to feel the, like, the feeling of holding a mic. So that's what I'm doing. I'm working out. I'm rehearsing. I'm writing on tracks. I'm recording in my bedroom. And then I'm doing meetings and interviews and stuff, but it's all happening at my apartment.
Oh, Cassie, this has been so much fun to catch up again. And I think the last thing for me to do is just to wish you the best of luck, not only for your song, but for Jacqueline's song as well, for the Melfest final on Saturday.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for your love.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
the world's favorite Eurovision podcast.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
What a lovely, lovely person Cassie Appiah is. Brilliant to have her back on. And James, be honest with me, you had a nice time having that chat, didn't you?
I did have a nice time. I don't think I was allowed as much time as I did, but we just kept chatting and chatting and chatting.
So you had a nice time, but the person that was scheduled to interview Cassie after you probably didn't have a very nice time.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody actually scheduled in afterwards. So I've chatted to the PR afterwards and said, apologies, I think we did overrun a little bit. We had so much fun, and they've come back and said, all good. It's absolutely fine. No worries whatsoever. So all good, all good.
Should also mention as well, we actually got a DM on Twitter about a very exciting Melfest event that is happening in London. So thank you to Katia who sent us this. So they are showing the Melfest final at the Two Brewers here in London. There's a big show built all around the screening. Linus Karp, He's Swedish, she's put in brackets. He'll be down there. He's won lots of awards, apparently. That's also in brackets, so this is very exciting. So Linus Karp, the Melfest final, loads of other great stuff happening down at the Two Brewers this weekend. If you want to get down there, then head over to the Two Brewers socials. They'll have all the details on there. So if you're in London or in the London area, then you can get yourself down there. Also, I know plenty of you are probably going to watch Melfest at the Swedish Church here in London, which is a bit of a tradition for lots of people as well.
Yes, indeed. But shall we wrap up today's episode with the 1 second song?
We should, but just before we do so, and I know that there are people listening to this podcast who love it, we have to say, James, of course, not just Melfest on Saturday, Festival de Conchau.
Is that the official pronunciation as well? Is that in the
pronunciation guide? No, it's not, but I thought I'd run headlong and give it a go. You do it quite well. Go on, it's the Festival de Conchau.
What is going on? Just Festival de Conchau?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. But yes, that is also on Saturday night, and we'll probably end significantly later than the Melfest final, because that'll be... done and dusted by, what, 9 p.m. UK time. Whereas in Portugal, I think maybe closer to 1 a.m. we might get a winner. So it might be a late one.
Yes, I know a lot of you listening to this love, I'll call it, the Portuguese selection for Eurovision, which, of course, it's not just the Portuguese selection for Eurovision, James. It is far, far more than that.
Yes, indeed. We'll not get into the whole is it a national final or not territory. You know, we've been there and... done that plenty of times so far this season. But 1 second song. Anyway, scores on the doors, by the way. 14-12 to me. I am
tight.
Still in the lead and have a chance to extend it because you have picked out a Eurovision song for me to play along with this week.
Absolutely, I have. So, James, for you and for everyone listening, for the first time, here is this week's 1 second song.
I know it.
Oh, I didn't think you would when I was putting this together. I really didn't think you would.
No, I am pretty certain I'll have it once more, just to be sure.
Go on then, get on with it.
Yeah. For 4 points, I think I might get them all. That is, I'll come back to the artist. It's something. It's something. I mean, the song is called something. Not, it's just something. The song is called something. It's Lithuania 2013. And it's... I was going to say Andrew and Andreas, I think, and Andreas Pujarvis. Right? No?
Yeah, you know it. You know it's right. It's 4 points, James.
Yes.
4 points.
Yes.
I like the idea that he was called Andrew Pujarvis, though.
That's why I came back to me. I was like, I was going to say Andrew, but that's certainly not right. I nearly hit the post with it, but yes, 4 points.
Yeah, so this is, as James has just said, Lithuania 2013, Andreas Pujarvis, and something. Let's have a listen.
I have to tell you something. It's been on my mind so long. If you don't know, I'm in love with you. When summertime falls, it becomes untrue.
Andreas Pujarvis, James, of course, formerly of the Eurotrip podcast.
Yes, indeed. Yes. When was that? Must be a good year or two ago.
A long time ago.
You'll get RSI from scrolling so far back in your podcast feed to try and find that. Anyway, did you pick that for any reason? I'm trying to think of some sort of link to what we've done today.
It's nowhere near as long as my links normally are. I'll say that much.
Go on then. I've got no idea.
All right. Well, who have we spoken to on the podcast today? I spoke to Taya, of course, of Taya and Selena fame, who sung Who the Hell is Edgar at Eurovision in Liverpool. Who the Hell is Edgar charted in the top 10 in 2 countries in Europe last year. One of them was, of course, Austria. The other one, James, was Lithuania. And where is the contest this year? It's in Malmö. Who was the Lithuanian representative? The last time the contest was in Malmö, it was Andreas Pujarvis with that song.
Very, very good. Just making a note there. I have extended my lead to 16 points. Well, my lead isn't 16 points. I mean, I'm on 16 points. You're on 12. So I have stretched my lead to a 4-point lead. So maybe next week you will close the gap and we will be level on points. Who'd have thought it?
Thunder and lightning. It's getting exciting, James.
It is indeed. That is it from us today. We will be back with you in a week's time when, who knows, by the time we speak, maybe all of the songs for Eurovision 2024 will be out in the open. And we'll be back on Monday for the final episode in the series of Melfest Monday. In the meantime, we keep saying, don't forget to get in touch with us. We are online at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can email us as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. If you'd like to support what we're doing here on the podcast as well, you can head over to buymeacoffee.com/eurotrippodcast and just head over to eurotrippodcast.com to read all of our exclusive stories. As well, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
And from me, Rob, it's goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.